Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we are beginning a new sermon series titled Gone Fishing. It's fishing stories from the gospel. We know that at least four of the disciples were fishermen, and I happen to enjoy fishing, and I know that many of you also enjoy fishing. I've heard stories of monster catfish brought out of Lake Houston, and I just thought it would be interesting to take a look at what we could learn from some of the fishing stories in the Gospels. I mean, I love to fish. I love to saltwater fish, love to throw plastic lures, and especially love fly fishing. In fact, I'm going fishing in August. I'm looking forward to it. We'll be fly fishing up in the mountains. But let's be clear. The disciples that were fishermen were commercial fishermen. They were in it to make a living. This was not just some pastime that they spent kind of whiling away their retirement years or something. They were trying to make a living at this. And they were really working hard at this. They were at it to make money, to support their families. In the first century, the Sea of Galilee was a world-renowned fishing spot. All of our fishing stories from the Gospels all take place there, at the Sea of Galilee, which is not really even a sea. It's a lake. It's fresh water, and it is called several things in Scripture. It's called the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, and Lake Gennesaret, which is what it is called in our Scripture reading today. It's all the same place. So if you're reading and you see those, it's all the same lake. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long. It's 8 miles wide. At its deepest, it's about 150 feet. It's an interesting lake because it is literally surrounded by mountains. It is the second lowest lake in the world at 680 feet below sea level. The only one that's lower is the Dead Sea at something like 700 feet below sea level. During biblical times, the Sea of Galilee provided the bulk of the protein for the people that surrounded the Sea of Galilee. It was a critical source of protein for those people. They were really trying to catch three main types of fish: sardines, carp, I don't know why, and something that was locally called the mushed fish, which is a tilapia. There were four main ways to fish. There was a dragnet, which you could do from shore or a boat. There was a cast net, which you could do also from the shore or a boat. And there was a trammel net, which was how most of the disciples used. That was used almost exclusively from a boat. And then there's, of course, rod and reel, right? A cane pole and a worm or something like that. But it's likely the trammel net method that the disciples were using. And when we read about their nets, that's what they're talking about. One other thing worth knowing about the Sea of Galilee is in the winter months, the tilapia would school in huge quantities, sort of in the north end, where there were some warmer spring waters that came into the Sea of Galilee, and you'll see why that's pertinent when I read you today's text. So our today's fishing story comes from the Gospel of Luke. It's verses 5, 1 through 11, and it is the initial calling of the first followers of Jesus, the disciples. So hear these words. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. So this is the initial calling of the disciples. In the synoptic gospels, in Mark and Matthew, that there's no amazing catch. Jesus is just like walking alongside the lake, and he sees Simon Peter and Andrew and says, hey, follow me. And scripture says they just immediately dropped everything and followed him. In our text today, if you were to read Luke carefully, you would note that in chapter 4, Jesus had already been into Simon's house. He had been into Simon's house, and he actually had healed Simon's mother-in-law, who had had a fever. And so when he stepped into the boat, it was not his first meeting of Simon. So Jesus is by the lake. The crowds are pressing around him, and he gets into a boat and moves out a ways. So why would he do that? Well, he did that because he was using an ancient microphone. The lake carries the water far better than it can as if he were to stand on the land and just talk with everyone. So he pushed out a ways and used the water to project his voice so that the crowds could hear the word of God. And then afterwards, he tells Simon, take me out further and let down your nets. And Simon Peter's like, dude, I'm tired. I mean, this was taxing labor, and he had fished all night long and caught nothing. I mean, you ever had fishing trips like that where you fish hard and you catch nothing? I mean, you get discouraged. And so Jesus says, well, put down your nets. And I don't think Peter, Simon Peter, is particularly excited to do that. It takes a lot of effort. But because Jesus asked him, he put down his nets and had a miraculous catch. A catch that was so large that he had to have another boat come alongside in order to get all of these fish and carry them back. With help, they were able to land all of these fish. So what can we learn from this fishing story with Jesus? I think there's a few things that we can learn from this. First off, when we labor for ourselves, the results are poor. Simon Peter had worked all day, all night actually, and he caught nothing. And so I think that's true in our life. When we find ourselves working sort of for our own account, for just ourselves, without concern for what Christ is calling us to do and to be, I think that we get poor results. Good things don't happen necessarily if we are out there just doing our own thing. I think that the more clear point to this is that if you are doing the work for Jesus, the results can be amazing. I mean, that's exactly what happened here. Jesus tells Peter, go out a little further and put down your nets. And Peter really wasn't all that fired up to do it. And yet, the catch was amazing. It's likely that Jesus had probably spotted this big school of tilapia, and that's why he told Peter to go out. But don't miss this point. I don't think Peter was excited to do this, but because Jesus asked him, he did it. And the results were amazing. He let down his nets. Despite his exhaustion, despite his discouragement, he obeyed. He did what Jesus asked him to do. So the results for working for Christ were so big, it took a team to complete the task. The results were so amazing that they had to bring along another boat to carry the catch. We, as we gather here, we claim to be the body of Christ. And it's true. We are a corporate body, a corporate gathering, and we do, in fact, make up the body of Christ. We as a church, we as us gathered here in this place this day. But when we say we are the body of Christ, it means also that we are his hands and his feet and his mouth. And we got to do all of that for hundreds and hundreds of children last week at VBS. We got to tell stories of Jesus, stories of God's love. We were actually able to share the love of Christ with so many children. And I can't tell you how I walked around this place because they don't trust me to do anything important. And I saw all of the volunteers that were being the hands and feet of Jesus and the mouth and sometimes the disciplinarian, right? No, stop touching that kid. Now, we are a body of Christ and we function much like a body. There's a movie that's not a particularly awesome movie, but it's called Here Comes the Boom. And in it, there is a teacher that's a biology teacher, and he's kind of a ne'er-do-well teacher, and he ends up doing some wrestling to try to win some money for the school to keep a program going. But there's this moment in which he really begins to teach biology. And he's talking to his class, and he asks them this: anything know what happens to a stagnant cell in your body or in an organism? He says, people, a cell that is not in motion is not a productive member of the system. That cell ends up assuming that all the other cells are going to pick up the slack somewhere, but they don't. In fact, they imitate the stray cell until basically the organism begins to die. And he goes on to say, but biology is an amazing thing, and here's the good news: all that decays can be restored. And once that cell is back on track, it creates energy amongst the other cells. That's what happens. It starts getting a little movement going. It gets a little rumble, he says. But the cell starts banging into other cells. And they're rumbling around everything. And once all of that happens, it's like a mosh pit, he tells the students. And they're going crazy. But then they find a rhythm, and they start to work together. And because they work together, restoration, healing begins. So now even the entire system that was close to dying is restored. We function like a body. Each one of you, your families, are a cell. in this body of Christ. So my question for you today is, where are you in this rhythm of this body of Christ? Are you a stagnant cell that's not doing much to help the body? Or are you a cell that's in rhythm with the other cells that are making us be an effective body of Christ? Where are you in the life of this body of Christ? Where are we as an entire body of Christ? How are we functioning in the kingdom of God? I have to say that from my view, we as a body of Christ, we've let down our nets. And we are participating in the work of Jesus the Christ. We let down our nets, and hundreds of children came to experience the love of Christ in us. So my question for you today is, have you gone to work for Jesus? Have you gone to work for the kingdom of God through this body of Christ or some other body of Christ or in some other way? Jesus is calling you to let down your nets and go to work for the kingdom of God. Don't be that stagnant cell that starts others being stagnant as well. Be that cell that is active and in rhythm with the others, so that we can be and become the body of Christ that Jesus is calling us to become in this community. My brothers and sisters, do not take this lightly. The message that we carry, the love of Christ, the sacrifice that was made for us, it's an urgent message for those that do not know the love of Christ. We carry this. We have to share this. We have to go to work for the kingdom of God so that ultimately every knee will bow, every tongue will profess his name. Our work as the hands and feet of Jesus, it's important and it's urgent. Let's all let down our nets. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we strive to serve you. In our discouragement, sometimes we may be hesitant, or we may fail to let down our nets. Father, help us in our unbelief. Help us to let down our nets that we might work for you. For we know the results will be amazing. We pray this in Jesus' holy name.